is called to order. The General Assembly will resume its consideration of agenda item 88, entitled Report of the International Atomic Energy Agency, to continue with the list of speakers from its plenary meeting held on 5th November 2013. I now give the floor to the distinguished permanent representative of the Iran Islamic Republic. You have the floor, sir.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, this is a new experience for me here. I appreciate that very much. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Let me first thank you, Mr. President, as well as I would like to express my thanks to Director General Amano for his report. Mr. President, dear colleagues, nuclear technology as a cost-effective, environmentally friendly, and climatically benign source of energy has gained a prominent position in the sustainable development of nations, in particular in industrial, medical, and agricultural fields, as well as producing electricity. The inalienable right to develop research, production, and use of nuclear energy for peaceful purposes without discrimination, including the inherent right to develop a full national nuclear fuel cycle for peaceful purposes, is the very foundation and one of the fundamental pillars of the NPT. These inherent rights can never be suspended or restricted. According to Article 4 of the NPT, not only nothing in the treaty shall be interpreted as affecting these rights, but all parties have a firm legal obligation, I quote, to facilitate and have the right to participate in the fullest possible exchange of equipment, materials, and scientific and technological information for the peaceful use of nuclear energy, unquote. Furthermore, based on Article 3 of the NPT, even the required safeguards, I quote, shall be implemented in a manner designed to comply with the Article 4 of this treaty and to avoid hampering the economic or technological development of the parties or international cooperation in the field of peaceful nuclear activities, including the international exchange of nuclear material and equipment for the processing, use, or production of nuclear material for peaceful purposes, unquote. Likewise, according to Article 2 and 3 of the IAEA statutes, the agency shall seek to accelerate and enlarge the contribution of atomic agency to peace, health, and prosperity throughout the world. It should also foster the exchange of scientific and technical information and assist research on and development and practical application of atomic energy for peaceful uses. Accordingly, along with other statutory functions of the agency to assist member states in research on and development and practical application of nuclear energy for peaceful use, it is its primary responsibility. We believe that this role of IAEA should be further promoted. The IAEA should be allowed to work impartially and professionally. This is necessary for preserving the authority, efficiency, and credibility of the IAEA, as well as the continued relevance and credibility of the NPT. Mr. President, in exercising its inalienable right to the peaceful uses of nuclear energy, Iran is committed to its legal obligations. The Islamic Republic of Iran's nuclear activities are and have always been exclusively for peaceful purposes. Iran continues to cooperate with the IAEA. All activities in the Iranian nuclear sites are under 24-hour surveillance cameras of the agency. In addition, the resident inspectors of the IAEA regularly visit the sites and measure and seal enriched uranium containers. The agency inspectors had carried out over 8,000 person day of inspection in Iranian facilities, including 100 unannounced inspections. Such inspections record is unprecedented in the history of the agency. Based on the latest IAEA safeguards implementation report, merely in 2012, Iran has dispatched over 4,000 accounting reports to the agency without delay. In many occasions, and as trust and confidence building measures, Iran has cooperated with the agency well beyond its legal obligations. As a result, non-diversion of declared nuclear material in Iran has always been confirmed by the IAEA reports, including its latest report dated 28th of August 2013. The Islamic Republic of Iran is determined to continue its cooperation with the agency based on its safeguards agreement. According to the joint statement by IAEA and the Islamic Republic of Iran, issued following the recent talks at the IAEA headquarters in Vienna, I quote, "Delegations of the agency and the Islamic Republic of Iran had a very productive meeting covering past and present issues on the 28th and 29th of October in Vienna. Iran presented a new proposal on practical measures as a constructive contribution to strengthen cooperation and dialogue with a view to future resolution of all outstanding issues. Following the substantive discussions, it was decided that a further meeting will be held on November 11 in Tehran in order to take this cooperation forward," unquote. This indeed is a new chapter of cooperation with the IAEA. We will continue this approach at the new round of negotiations with the agency. We stand ready to make the upcoming negotiations a success. Mr. President, based on our new approach, we will continue our constructive engagement with the parties concerned, in particular 5+1. The Islamic Republic of Iran is determined to resolve all outstanding issues through a meaningful, time-bound, and result-oriented negotiations. Adoption of win-win approach is essential to ensure that negotiations will result in the removal of the legitimate concerns of the other parties and the acknowledgement of the inherent right of Iran to peaceful use of nuclear energy, including to develop a full national nuclear fuel cycle and lifting all multilateral and unilateral sanctions. Through its constructive engagement and presenting practical proposals, Iran demonstrated its seriousness to solve outstanding issues once and for all. Therefore, the other parties should prove their genuine political will by seizing this opportunity. I thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I thank the distinguished permanent representative of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Australia, Senator Chris Back, Parliament of Australia. You have the podium, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Australia is pleased to have the opportunity to commend Director General Yukiya Amano for his report on the achievements of the International Atomic Energy Agency and the challenges it will face over the coming years. We congratulate the Director General on his election for a new term in this most important role. Australia is honoured to be a member of the IAEA Board of Governors and a non-permanent member of the United Nations Security Council for 2013-14. And we take very seriously the responsibilities this entails. Australia attaches great importance to the central role played by the IAEA in improving the safety and security of nuclear activities, enlarging the humanitarian contribution of nuclear technology, and verifying states' non-proliferation commitments. Australia fully supports the right of the IAEA members to enjoy the benefits of peaceful uses of nuclear energy in accordance with their international obligations. Mr. President, all members of the agency must work together to ensure an effective safeguards system. Confidence in this system provides necessary assurances about the peaceful nature of nuclear activities and is the basic foundation for nuclear trade and cooperation, for security, and continuing progress on nuclear disarmament. Australia welcomes the Director General's efforts to improve the effectiveness of the safeguard system, including in relation to the conceptualisation and development of safeguards implementation at the state level. Australia urges all states yet to do so to bring into force an additional protocol as soon as possible as an essential step in ensuring maximum effectiveness of the safeguards system. President, as Director General Amano reminded us in July of this year, constant vigilance and collective action is necessary to ensure nuclear security. This year, we were pleased to note the agency and member states continued along this path. Australia also acknowledges the agency's efforts in implementing the action plan on nuclear safety, including a series of international experts' meetings on topics central to understanding the causes and consequences of the Fukushima nuclear accident. We strongly support efforts by contracting parties to identify suitable options to enhance the effectiveness of the Convention on Nuclear Safety, which is the principal international instrument for promoting the safety of nuclear power reactors. We also support the agency's continued efforts to strengthen the safety and security of radioactive sources, highlighted as recently as last week at the agency's conference on this subject at the United Arab Emirates. In conclusion, Mr. President, the external environment in which the agency operates is highly fluid, and the agency must maintain the capacity to respond quickly and effectively to external developments, be they related to nuclear safety, physical protection, nuclear proliferation, or sustainable development. Australia will continue to support Director General Amano's efforts to strengthen the contribution of the agency in making promotion of the use of nuclear energy for peaceful purposes in areas ranging from cancer treatment to water resources and to the cause of international peace and security. Australia is pleased to co-sponsor and support the resolution on the report of the IAEA. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the distinguished representative of Australia, Senator Chris Back. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Kazakhstan.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, Kazakhstan wishes to express warm appreciation to Mr. Yukio Amano, Director General of the International Atomic Energy Agency, for presenting a most comprehensive analysis of the work of the agency in highlights. It highlights the current and future roles of the IAEA in pointing the way for applications of nuclear energy and technical cooperation, with a stronger focus also on safety and security measures rather than poor verification. Kazakhstan notes with great satisfaction its collaboration with IAEA for its own nuclear energy, as well as non-proliferation and disarmament policies at the regional and global level. The agency not only protects us from nuclear weapons and nuclear terrorism, but also advances human betterment through peaceful purposes. To achieve this, it is important to bring international legal norms in line with the reality of existence of de facto nuclear weapon states. At the same time, the greatest risks are associated with states that are involved in the black market of nuclear technologies. Hence, compliance with the Treaty on the Non-Proliferation of Nuclear Weapons by state parties and improvement of global mechanisms for managing processes in the development of nuclear power and the safety of nuclear facilities are of extreme importance. My country, therefore, proposes conducting regular stress tests of nuclear plants and protection systems, as well as rapid rescue responses under the auspices of IAEA. My country, to harness nuclear capabilities for peaceful purposes, collaborates with the Russian Federation for making available our uranium for enrichment at the National Center in Angarsk, Siberia, for use as nuclear fuel in power reactors. We are also working on the Kurchatov Nuclear Technologies Park with IAEA surveillance. We support the measures of IAEA to develop a new framework for utilizing nuclear energy based on multilateral approaches to the nuclear fuel cycle on a non-political and non-discriminatory basis. Kazakhstan is presently finalizing the negotiations with IAEA to host a nuclear fuel bank on its territory. Mr. President, as part of the Central Asian Nuclear Weapon Free Zone, Kazakhstan abides strictly by IAEA's safeguards agreement. We also adhere to the additional protocol to reduce the risk of nuclear terrorism and smuggling of nuclear weapons and radioactive materials in the region. We collaborate with IAEA to address environmental concerns of ecological radiation specific to Central Asia, as we are due currently for Northeast Japan. My delegation endorses the roadmap of IAEA as proposed at its last ministerial meeting. Kazakhstan supports the establishment of a nuclear weapon-free zone in the Middle East as a solution for peace in the region and therefore commends the work of the IAEA towards these objectives. Kazakhstan is ready to host any further deliberations to move the process forward. We are consistently implementing the International Convention for the Suppression of Acts of Nuclear Terrorism, as well as UN Security Council Resolution 1540, to strengthen measures to combat illegal trafficking of nuclear and other materials. In 2011, we hosted the ODA and OSCE-sponsored 1540 training workshop for the Central Asia region, funded by the government of Norway and United States of America. We are currently viewing prospects for a similar training in early 2014. As a member of the Nuclear Suppliers Group and the Zanger Committee, Kazakhstan maintains the strictest control over its equipment and installation that enrich uranium and reprocess spent nuclear fuel. It is diligently implementing recommendations of nuclear security summits held in Washington, D.C. and Seoul in 2012, and looks forward to the Hague Summit in 2014. My country has ratified and acceded to four major conventions of nuclear security, including the Vienna Convention on Civil Liability for Nuclear Damage. In view of the growing importance of nuclear energy, Kazakhstan has an agreement with IAEA on technical cooperation for 2010-2015 to develop nuclear energy for nuclear education, medicine, agriculture, research reactor safety, nuclear technology, radioisotope, and radiation applications for collective global human security. An issue of great importance to us is that Kazakhstan, though being a key and responsible member of IAEA, is being denied the opportunity to participate in the work of elective bodies due to the existing rules of procedure. In fully supporting the early entry into force of the amendments to Article 6 of the IAEA Statute, Kazakhstan is nevertheless confident that a solution will be found. In closing, I would like to state that Kazakhstan contributes regularly to the IAEA budget and technical cooperation fund in order to fulfill its financial obligations. We thank IAEA for its collaboration in observances of the International Day Against Nuclear Tests and in the Nuclear Discussion Forum initiated by Kazakhstan together with the East-West Institute. To conclude, we look forward to another cycle of even more productive collaboration with IAEA to address global issues of nuclear technology and security. Thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the distinguished representative of Kazakhstan. I now give the floor to the distinguished permanent representative of Jamaica.
Mr. President, my delegation joins in thanking Director General Yukio Amano for his presentation of the 2012 annual report of the IAEA. Allow me to also congratulate Director General Amano on being elected for a second four-year term, a reflection of the confidence reposed in him by members of the organization. Jamaica attaches great importance to the vital work of the IAEA in fostering nuclear safety and security and promoting peaceful uses of nuclear technology. The agency's practical and meaningful technical cooperation projects are greatly appreciated by my country and many small developing member states. It is in the promotion of peaceful uses of technology to help improve the lives of people that Jamaica finds its relations with the IAEA to be the most significant. We have a strong interest in the IAEA's activities related to nuclear science, technology, and applications, and continue to benefit significantly from them. Jamaica became a state party to the Agreement on the Cooperative Arrangement for the Promotion of Nuclear Science and Technology in Latin America and the Caribbean in November 2011, and attaches great importance to its cooperation through this regional mechanism. We are pleased that the IAEA has been taking steps to deepen its collaboration with the Caribbean. This has no doubt contributed to the fact that a Caribbean country has been among the group of new members admitted in each of the last three general conferences, Dominica, Trinidad and Tobago, and the Bahamas. Jamaica welcomes the IAEA's increasing efforts to collaborate with our subregion and continues to take tangible steps to support these efforts through a number of initiatives, including through the co-hosting of subregional workshops. Mr. President, Jamaica has benefited from projects in several areas and is actively engaged with the Department for Technical Cooperation for Latin America in developing projects in areas of high national importance, in particular health and water resources management. The project in health complements the initiatives that Jamaica and sister CARICOM states have spearheaded in the UN and the WHO to address the grave challenges posed by non-communicable diseases. Our efforts are focused both on prevention and cure. With regard to the latter, we consider the use of nuclear medicine to be critical and the support of the IAEA for our efforts to reestablish a nuclear medicine capacity for management of NCDs, including cardiac diseases and cancers, is therefore of vital importance. In recognition of the value and importance of the cooperation projects being undertaken with the support of the IAEA, we have taken steps to meet our current obligations in relation to the technical cooperation agreements. We will make further efforts to meet our obligations in this area despite serious resource challenges. In the field of research and technology, we are now embarked on the conversion of our reactor from highly enriched uranium to low enriched uranium. We express appreciation to the IAEA and the government of the United States for the assistance that is being given to Jamaica, in particular under the Peaceful Uses Initiative. In fact, we are embarked on a project in partnership with the IAEA and the United States aimed at converting the fuel used in our nuclear research reactor from HEU to LEU. Nuclear technology is perhaps the most sensitive fields of human technological activity. The benefits and dangers associated with harnessing of this awesome power of the atom require careful study, safety and security protocols, as well as measures and constant vigilance. In the area of nuclear security, compliance by all members of the international community with treaties and mechanisms that govern the development and use of nuclear material is most important. We look forward to the elimination of all nuclear weapons and the securing of a world free of all nuclear weapons. In the meantime, we resolutely oppose any expansion in the number of states developing or possessing nuclear weapons. It is for these reasons that we regard the NPT and compliance with it to be of paramount importance. We share the expressions of concern that have been voiced regarding the failure of certain members to comply with their obligations under the NPT, and therefore urge all members to ensure that their nuclear programs are brought under the appropriate safeguard regime. We remain supportive of actions to improve nuclear security, given the lethal and devastating impact that a nuclear disaster can have on our viability and survival. For our part, we acceded to the Convention on the Physical Protection of Nuclear Materials in 2005 and have signed the International Convention for the Suppression of Acts of Nuclear Terrorism. We continue to be disturbed at the frequent reports on the loss of nuclear materials. To this end, we support the efforts of the IAEA's Illicit Trafficking Database Office, which records and analyzes incidents of nuclear and other radioactive material in an attempt to identify trends and or characteristics to assist in the prevention of misuse of nuclear or radioactive material. In closing, Mr. President, Jamaica is confident that the valuable and practical cooperation that it has enjoyed with the IAEA will continue and that the fruits of this cooperation will redound to the benefit of all. We remain deeply committed to the goals of this important agency and will do our part to ensure that nuclear safety and security goals are maintained and strengthened through compliance with the agreements and mechanisms on which we are agreed. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the distinguished permanent representative of Jamaica. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Norway.
Mr. President, Norway is pleased to be among the sponsors of the General Assembly resolution on the report of the International Atomic Energy Agency. Disarmament and non-proliferation is a cornerstone in Norwegian foreign policy, and we place the utmost importance on the universalization of the NPT. We therefore call on states that have not joined, not joined the treaty to do so as non-nuclear weapon states. The IAEA plays a crucial role in sustaining this regime, which is essential for international peace and security and in moving forward to our collective objective of a world without nuclear weapons. Norway reiterates its call for the full universal application of the comprehensive safeguards agreements and the additional protocol, and stresses the need to resolve all cases of non-compliance. We're deeply concerned with the prolonged and grave challenges posed to the non-proliferation regime posed by the Islamic Republic of Iran, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, and the Syrian Arab Republic. The IAEA must be given sufficient resources to keep its safeguard capabilities strong and independent, and be able to evolve safeguards in light of new challenges and technologies. Norway has therefore been supporting the IAEA in developing the state-level concept in the implementation of safeguards, and consider this an objective, efficient, and effective measure in this regard. Norway supports the multilateral approaches to nuclear fuel cycle and appreciates the contribution by the agency in setting up LEU fuel bank in Kazakhstan. Norway furthermore values the contribution by the agency in resolving current outstanding proliferation concerns, and Norway will contribute financially to strengthening IAEA capabilities in these activities. The IAEA is a keystone of international nuclear security cooperation, and we welcome the International Conference on Nuclear Security organized by the agency in July this year. Effective physical protection is crucial to prevent nuclear material from falling into the hands of terrorists and to protect nuclear facilities against unauthorized use and malicious acts. We therefore urge all states that have not done so to become party to the Convention on Physical Protection of Nuclear Material and its 2005 amendment. At the same time, we must recognize that other multilateral efforts, such as the Nuclear Security Summit process, the implementation of the Security Council Resolution 1540, and the global initiative to combat nuclear terrorism, are essential to prevent that nuclear weapons or sensitive nuclear material fall into the wrong hands. These efforts are mutually reinforcing. Norway has devoted particular attention to minimizing the use of highly enriched uranium and greatly appreciates the excellent cooperation with the agency in this field. Norway has contributed with substantial voluntary funding to the IAEA Nuclear Security Fund. Norway fully supports the right to peaceful use of nuclear energy as stipulated by Article 4 of the NPT. The purpose of multilateral fuel banks is indeed to promote this right while sustaining the global non-proliferation regime. Application of nuclear technology is far more than just generating electricity. The IAEA provides essential technical assistance in the use of nuclear technology in health, agriculture, and water management. The IAEA is an important partner when we are now accelerating efforts to reach the UN Millennium Development Goals. Fukushima reminded us once again that tragic accidents occur, and that the effects cross borders. We all have a stake in improving nuclear safety. Norway has over the last year contributed and will continue to do so with substantial financial resources to IAEA Action Plan, including the agency's work to strengthen safety capacity in developing countries embarking on or with existing nuclear power programs. In addition to improve nuclear safety, we must also do more in emergency preparedness and response. To conclude, the IAEA is an indispensable partner for our common security and development. We must provide the agency with the necessary political support and ensure that it is fully equipped to meet current and emerging challenges. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the distinguished representative of Norway, and I now give the floor to the distinguished permanent representative of Ethiopia. You have the podium, sir.
Mr. President, it gives me great pleasure to address this August Assembly on behalf of my delegation on the agenda item under discussion. Let me thank the Director General of the International Atomic Energy Agency, Ambassador Yukiya Amano, for his informative and comprehensive report, which details the agency's activities during the past year in the area of nuclear technology, safety, and security, nuclear verification and technical cooperation, and others. We also wish to take this opportunity to express our congratulations to Ambassador Omar Amano on his well-deserved re-election. Ethiopia joins other delegations in welcoming the Bahamas, Brunei Darussalam, and Swaziland as new member states of the IAEA as of this current year. We consider their decision as another positive indication of the importance of the work of the IAEA. Mr. President, my delegation commends the IAEA for the continued efforts in discharging its responsibilities to help member states use nuclear energy for peaceful purposes. IAEA's technical cooperation program, including the provision of guidance to member states on how to use nuclear energy for peaceful uses, is of a critical importance. In this regard, the development of nuclear power projects and promotion of the application of nuclear technology to human health, medical service, food and agricultural, and environment protection are worth mentioning. We are also of the view that both national measures and international cooperation are essential for nuclear radiation safety. We would like to underline here that the agency has a key role to play in ensuring that safeguards to address nuclear accidents have been strictly implemented and that global nuclear safety culture are promoted in a comprehensive and sustainable manner. This is because we believe that the agency safeguards are fundamental for creating conducive environment for international nuclear energy cooperation and reducing the possibilities of dangerous radioactive leaks by human faults or technical reasons. As one of the founding members of the agency, I would like to reaffirm Ethiopia's commitment to the peaceful use of nuclear technologies by respecting global and regional security monitoring and safeguarding mechanisms. In this regard, the government of Ethiopia is committed to strengthening the national radiation and nuclear safety infrastructure to ensure the safe operation of equipment that use radiation sources and other nuclear materials by adhering to the promotion of peaceful use of nuclear applications. The agency's responsibilities for ensuring nuclear disarmament under the NPT is universal, and state parties to nuclear disarmament and other weapons of mass destruction treaties have also equal responsibility to ensure and halting the spread of nuclear weapons. In particular, the implementation of the Security Council Resolution 1540-2004 and 1887-2009 is essential to nuclear disarmament and address nuclear-related threats, including the threats from non-state actors who seek to acquire weapons of mass destruction. Mr. President, the agency's continued technical assistance to our government efforts to develop capabilities in the control of TSA-TSA flights, improving cancer treatment, diagnostic nuclear medicine services, isotope hydrological analysis, and non-destructive quality testing and national nuclear science and technology infrastructure has always been useful in many ways. Indeed, we have improved our capacity in several areas, in particular in manpower training, equipment acquisition, and expert missions. Mr. President, Ethiopia appreciates the agency's consistent and continued advocacy for peaceful use of nuclear technology and believes that the provision of sufficient and predictable resources to the programs of the agency and, more importantly, balanced distribution of resources to the safeguards, nuclear safety, and technical cooperation activities of the agency need to be ensured. The technical cooperation program is, in fact, playing a crucial role as a means to transfer nuclear technology to developing countries. Ethiopia has benefited from the IAEA and FAO joint activities in the application of nuclear techniques in the fields of crop and livestock production, sustainable control of major insect pests, soil degradation, and food quality and safety. Ethiopia views this as an important contribution to meet the MDGs by developing countries, including inter alia, through the improvement of agricultural productivity and childhood nutrition, poverty reduction, ensuring environmental sustainability and development of global partnerships for development. Mr. President, in closing, I wish to express my government's sincere gratitude to the IAEA, particularly its governing body and leadership, for the vital technical support and continued cooperation that the agency renders to my country. I would also like to take this opportunity to reiterate Ethiopia's commitment, in addition to abiding by its international obligation as a state party to NPT and other disarmament conventions, to continue to do its level best to further enhance this positive spirit of cooperation with the agency. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the distinguished representative of Ethiopia. And it's now my pleasure to give the floor to the distinguished permanent representative of Monaco.
Merci, Monsieur le Président.
Thank you, President. First of all, I want to thank Mr. Yukiya Amano, the IAEA Director General, for the presentation of the agency's work and his report to the General Assembly. I take the opportunity to reiterate the commitment of the Principality's government to two aspects of the peaceful use of nuclear energy, an essential element in development. As reiterated by His Serene Highness Prince Albert II during the opening of a scientific forum in September, I quote, "There is no peace without development, more specifically without sustainable development. It's the premise on which the IAEA was established as an organisation of atoms for peace." Monaco, which has been a member of the agency since its establishment in 1957, has since 1961 hosted the Marine Environment Laboratories. Since 2010, the activities of these laboratories have been expanded to the land environment, becoming thus the IAEA Environment Laboratories. As stated by the Director General, Monaco is also home to the Ocean Acidification International Coordination Centre, created in 2012 as part of the IAEA Peaceful Use Initiative, launched by the USA. The work of this international coordination platform serves the agency member states to enhance research and cooperation to combat the consequences of climate change, which acidifies the oceans and poses a grave threat to many marine organisms, in particular to crustaceans and corals. Ocean acidification has for many years been the focus of the work of the Monaco Scientific Centre. I reiterate that representatives of the agency's International Coordination Centre and of the Monaco Scientific Centre presented their work to the member states of the GA during the UNICPOLOS meeting in June. President, nuclear applications in the field of healthcare are also essential. On the occasion of the 50th anniversary of the Environment Laboratories in September 2011, and in the margins of the visit of the Director General Amano to the Principality, a framework agreement was signed to enhance that cooperation for the utilisation of nuclear technologies in the field of healthcare. In so doing, Monaco committed, together with the IAEA, to supporting the Programme of Action for Cancer Therapy Pact, which seeks to respond to a crisis of global proportions. Through the partnership, Monaco intends to fully contribute to the prevention, testing and treatment of cancers, in low and middle-income countries where more than 100 million people could die between now and 2020. President, allow me in conclusion to reiterate the support of the Principality of Monaco to the agency and to its Director General and to commend him for his leadership. Thanks also go to the agency's representative to the UN, Mr. Geoffrey Shaw, in whom we've always found a reliable, effective partner. It is in tribute to this support and cooperation that Monaco is co-sponsor of draft resolution A68L10. Thank you.
I thank the distinguished permanent representative of Monaco, and I now give the floor to the distinguished permanent representative of the Syrian Arab Republic.
Shukran, Sayyid Rais.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. President, although there is a universal unanimity that the sole actual nuclear danger in the Middle East resides in Israel's possession of the nuclear weapons and its means of delivery to faraway areas. Israeli nuclear weapon can reach 5,000 miles, that is, to the borders of China. Some of those who turn a blind eye to this crystal clear situation are pleased to open illusory fronts with dubious motives. It is evident that such partial and unobjective approach exposes the falsehood of their allegations and interest on creating a region free of weapons of mass destruction and nuclear weapons in the Middle East. Although they, for decades, have been responsible for supplying Israel with nuclear technology that enabled it to possess nuclear weapons and their means of delivery, including advanced submarines able to carry and launch nuclear weapons. They tried their best to take this nuclear Israeli weapon in vain from the main interest in the course of the MPT 2010 conference, review conference, and the failure of the 2012 Helsinki conference to distract attention from Israel's continued position of nuclear weapons at the expense of the safety and security of the peoples of the region. This proves the double standards. The Director General of IAEA, in his statement, stated that the agency, as of late, came up with a conclusion, and I quote, that it is quite possible that a building destroyed in Deir ez-Zor in Syria was a nuclear reactor that should have been declared to the agency. End of the quote. Permit me to make the following observations. First, the Director General of IAEA knows that Syria made of the question of MPT a main pillar of its national priority. Indeed, and in letter and deed, it hastened early to accede to MPT in 1968. It also signed the Comprehensive Safeguards Agreement with the agency in 1992. If we add to this the reality that Syria in 2003, on the 12th of December 2003, exactly, on behalf of the Arab group, submitted a draft resolution, which is still in blue, in the corridors of the Security Council, draft resolution that was designed to creating an, a region free from nuclear weapons and all other weapons of mass destruction in the Middle East. The credibility of our national commitment to NPT, to non-proliferation, cannot be questioned. Particularly, this draft resolution, which we are talking about, conforms with the provisions and goals of the IAEA. At the time, as it is well known, it was objected to by an influential nuclear state on the Security Council that threatened to use veto, the privilege of veto, and not the right to veto. Second, the Security Council and IAEA have not condemned Israel's flagrant military aggression against Syria at the time, probably because they have been used to Israel's breach of their international and legitimate resolutions relating to our region with no accountability. Israel refused to cooperate with the agency and to allow its inspectors and to verify the possible contamination emanating from Israeli rockets, as well as the material used in destroying the site, taking into consideration that Israel's non-cooperation with the agency and its continuation to develop its military nuclear abilities outside any international supervision, as well as its regard for all the calls to make the Middle East a region free from weapons of mass destructions and nuclear weapons, adversely affects the credibility of the NPT system and threatens the security and stability of all the region, of all the states of the Middle East, and it undermines the universality of the NPT. All these matters are well known and documented to the IAEA. We had expected the Director General to mention these facts instead of looking at indecisive expressions such as it is highly possible. That is what he said yesterday. Third, it is highly useful to read to you, dear colleagues, a paragraph contained in the notes of the previous Director General of IAEA, Mr. Mohammed Al-Bradi, the paragraph which appears on pages 228 and 229, and I read in English.
Nuclear diplomacy in treacherous times. وإليكم الفقرة باللغة الإنجليزية كما وردت في.
This is the paragraph in English from the book published by Baradei himself.
One of the strangest and most striking examples of nuclear hypocrisy, multilateral and multifaceted, must surely be Israel's bombing of the Deir ez-Zor installation in Syria in September 2007, and the aftermath of that attack. Speculation began almost immediately that the site had housed a nuclear facility. Syria denied the accusations. Israel and the United States remained officially silent, although American officials talked anonymously on the subject to the media. I spoke out strongly, noting that any country with information indicating that the bombed facility was a nuclear was under a legal obligation to report it to the IAEA. But no one came forward with such a report. For the 6 weeks following the bombing, the most crucial period in terms of our seeing inside the facility, we were unable to obtain any high-resolution imagery from commercial satellites. And Al-Baradei goes on for pages and pages on this issue.
Baradei goes on and on for pages.
El Zor in Syria was hosting a nuclear facility. That was the predecessor of Mr. Amano.
Fourth, member states' obligation to the statute of the agency made it necessary for the United States of America to inform IAEA of the information in its position before destroying the installation and not after 8 months. The same thing applies to Israel, which did not supply the agency with any information. Rather, it perpetrated a condemnable military aggression against the sovereignty of our territory, infiltrating our airspace from a neighboring state, that is Turkey. The agency did not deal with this in accordance with the mandate entrusted to it or taken or took any measures necessary in accordance with its competences and responsibilities with regard to Israel's breach of its international obligations. Most of the contents of the report of the agency made by the Director General in the site in Deir ez-Zor relied on the imagery and analyses submitted 8 months later by ICA. This raises many questions received by the agency as well as the nature of the documents authenticating that, taking into consideration that information was submitted by a state adopting a political agenda inimical to the interests of my country. Taking into consideration precedents on this score relating to the Iraqi file, no dossier known to everybody. Thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the distinguished permanent representative of the Syrian Arab Republic, and I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Japan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. President, distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen, let me begin by thanking the Director General of the International Atomic Energy Agency, Mr. Yukio Amano, for presenting the IAEA's annual report. Let me also congratulate Mr. Amano for his reappointment as Director General. I would like to assure him that the full support of my government will be extended to him. The government of Japan also welcomes Brunei Darussalam and the Commonwealth of the Bahamas as new members of the IAEA. Mr. President, the government of Japan would like to express gratitude once again for the great support and assistance coming from the international community for more than 2.5 years since the earthquake of 2011 and its resulting tsunami and the accident at Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power station of Tokyo Electric Power Company. I would like to take this opportunity to explain briefly about our current efforts to address the accident at Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power station. Taking countermeasures against the contaminated water leakage is the most urgent task for us. As Prime Minister Abe stated, the entire government will continue to work in an integrated manner to put its full weight into resolving the contaminated water issue, while also enhancing the dissemination of accurate information to the international community. With regard to the influence of the contaminated water, increased radioactivity was observed within the port of TEPCO's Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power station in an area smaller than 0.3 square kilometers. No significant increase in radioactive levels has been detected outside the port at present, and the radioactive level outside the port and in the open sea remains below the limit of WHO's guideline for drinking water quality. The nuclear reactors at Fukushima Daiichi Nuclear Power Station were cooled down and stabilized by the end of 2011. A significant decrease in radioactive releases has also been achieved. The government of Japan and TEPCO are steadily taking measures to decommission the reactors. The decommissioning of the Fukushima Daiichi Nuclear Power Station and resolving the contaminated water issue are unprecedented tasks in which we are facing a series of difficulties. A structure to bring together technologies, expertise, and wisdom from Japan and the international community, including the IAEA, is needed. In this context, the second IAEA decommissioning mission to address the contaminated water issue will be in Japan towards the end of November, following the mission that took place in April. Currently, two IAEA experts on marine monitoring are visiting Japan in preparation for the decommissioning mission. Japan will deal with the contaminated water issue and the decommissioning work in an internationally open manner and will welcome recommendations and cooperation from the IAEA and the international community. Mr. President, Japan is determined to further contribute to the strengthening of nuclear safety worldwide by sharing the experiences and lessons learned from the Fukushima Daiichi accident with the international community. To this end, Japan hosted the Fukushima Ministerial Conference on Nuclear Safety in December last year in cooperation with the IAEA. 117 states and 13 international organizations participated in this conference and reaffirmed the importance of strengthening nuclear safety. Japan expresses gratitude to the Malaysian government for co-chairing the conference, member states for their participation, and the IAEA Secretariat for their invaluable contribution to the success of the conference. It goes without saying that Japan will actively cooperate with the IAEA to formulate the IAEA's comprehensive report on the Fukushima Daiichi accident. In July this year, the IAEA successfully organized the International Conference on Nuclear Security, the first ever ministerial-level conference on this issue at the IAEA. Japan, once again, would like to express its great appreciation for the efforts made by Director General Mr. Amano and his staff. Japan continues to play a responsible role in strengthening nuclear security as a country utilizing nuclear energy. Mr. President, in order to promote peaceful uses of nuclear energy, it is essential that we strengthen the safeguards while ensuring nuclear safety and security. Japan therefore advocates the universalization of the additional protocol in the context of strengthening safeguards. In this regard, Japan welcomes the fact that five states concluded additional protocols in 2012 and is grateful for the work of the IAEA Secretariat in this regard. Japan, in cooperation with the IAEA and other member states, will continue to work on the universalization of the additional protocol. Mr. President, the DPRK's nuclear and missile development programs, including its work in uranium enrichment, are serious violations of the relevant Security Council resolutions. A nuclear test by the DPRK is totally unacceptable, as it represents a grave challenge to the international non-proliferation regime centered on the NPT, and seriously undermines the peace and security of Northeast Asia, as well as the international community as a whole. Furthermore, Japan is gravely concerned about the DPRK's announcement in April this year, which shows its intention to readjust and restart its Yongbyon nuclear facilities. Japan strongly urges the DPRK to comply fully with all its international obligations and commitments under Security Council resolutions and the 2005 joint statement of the six-party talks and to completely abandon all its nuclear weapons and missile development programs in a verifiable and irreversible manner. Japan supports the critical role the IAEA continues to play in resolving the DPRK's nuclear issue. The Iranian nuclear issue is also a serious concern of the whole international community. While taking note of the recent positive atmosphere brought about by the new Iranian government, Japan urges Iran to comply with the demands of the relevant resolutions of the Security Council and the IAEA Board of Governors. We also call upon Iran to take substantive actions for the peaceful resolution of the issue. Japan notes that at the last meeting between the IAEA and Iran on 28th and 29th October, positive aspects were seen, which can be conducive to substantive progress towards resolving Iran's nuclear issue. In this regard, Japan continues to support the IAEA's efforts. Japan expresses its expectation for meaningful negotiations between Iran and the EU plus three and IAEA, hoping that the negotiations will soon lead to concrete results. Thank you for your attention.
I thank the distinguished representative of Japan, and I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of South Africa.
Mr. President, South Africa wishes to congratulate Mr. Yukiya Amano on his re-election as the Director General of the International Atomic Energy Agency and to thank him for presenting the 2012 annual report on the work of the agency. Over several decades, the work of the IAEA has advanced the peaceful uses of nuclear energy. The IAEA's interventions in an array of important sectors such as human health, water and agriculture have sought to contribute to food security and poverty reduction. The agency's interventions in these areas are unique due to its specific nature, and South Africa attaches great value to the development and application of technologies that have the potential to profoundly influence socioeconomic development, especially in countries on the African continent. It can be expected that the agency will continue to do more in these areas, given the growing number of its member states from the developing world. The agency is also to be lauded for the partnerships it has established in this regard with other relevant agencies of the broader UN family. The key goal of the agency is to accelerate and enlarge the contribution of its atomic energy to peace, health, and prosperity throughout the world. Member states of the IAEA should therefore continue to work together to enhance the capacity of the agency to provide more technical cooperation. Mr. President, events over the past few years have brought much focus to nuclear power generation. A number of states are engaged in the process or in processes to increase the share of nuclear power in their energy mix. This is necessitated by the imperatives of economic growth and security of supply on the one hand, as well as the need to reduce the carbon footprint and preserve dwindling natural resources. The agency has provided important support to both newcomer countries as well as those who are expanding nuclear power generation. Another important pillar of the agency is its work in verification. Undoubtedly, the IAEA has proved to be an independent and impartial organization that fulfills the task of safeguards implementation in accordance with established agreements with individual member states. South Africa supports the agency's efforts to strengthen the safeguard system in all states with safeguards agreements in force and within its legal mandate. In response to the Fukushima nuclear power plant accident 2 years ago, the IAEA took decisive steps to strengthen the global nuclear safety framework. The adoption of the Action Plan for Nuclear Safety was a milestone and an important display of the Secretariat and Member States' commitments to taking responsibility for nuclear safety.
Whilst nuclear security remains the responsibility of each member state, South Africa welcomes the progress made to strengthen nuclear security at the international level through important work of the IAEA, which includes the hosting of the final ministerial level nuclear security conference by the IAEA earlier this year. In conclusion, Mr. President, South Africa remains firm in its commitment towards nuclear disarmament, nuclear non-proliferation, and the peaceful uses of nuclear energy. We support the IAEA as the only internationally recognized competent authority responsible for verifying and assuring compliance with safeguards agreements of states parties concluded in compliance with their obligation under the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. South Africa stands ready to work with all member states to strengthen the work of the agency across all pillars of the IAEA's work. I thank you.
I thank the distinguished representative of South Africa. We have now heard the last speaker in the debate on agenda item 88. We shall now proceed to consider draft resolution A/68/L10. Before giving the floor to the speaker in explanation of vote, before the vote, may I remind delegations that explanations of vote are limited to 10 minutes and should be made by the delegations from their seats. I now give the floor to the representative of the DPRK.
Thank you, Mr. President, for giving me the floor. Now, DPRK delegation has in front the draft resolution A/68/L10, the report of the IAEA. And regarding this draft resolution, the DPRK delegation once again considers this report in one part, fully biased, one-sided report without any nature of impartiality. And therefore, the DPRK delegation would like to draw to two factors very critical in understanding of the nuclear issue on the Korean Peninsula. Number one, this IAEA report once again ignored the fact that the United States is the creator and producer, originator of the nuclear issue on the Korean Peninsula. It is the United States who brought into South Korea nuclear weapons in 1957, not the DPRK. It is the United States again who increased the number deployed to the level of over 1,000, reaching 1970s, and it is not the DPRK. And number two, the IAEA report once again ignored the fact that the United States is the perpetrator of the nuclear blackmail against the DPRK and its people. Again, it is the United States who blackmailed already back in 1950s during the Korean War time. MacArthur at that time claimed under the order of Truman, that time president, he will turn the Korean Peninsula into radioactive corridor. 1957, and they brought in and increased the number. And coming to 2002, the U.S. administration officially put into their own policy DPRK as part of axis of evils, which means it should be eliminated. And it listed the DPRK as part of the nuclear preemptive strike. And now, this year, just some time ago, the U.S. listed the DPRK as nuclear tailored deterrent, jointly with South Korea. And under these policies, the U.S. is continuing to open military joint exercises with South Korea, one after another. Every time they open, they bring in whatever they have, triad of nuclear weapons, from the air to the sea to the ground. B-52, George Washington aircraft carrier, a nuclear-powered submarine. Each has nuclear weapons, live nuclear weapons, threatening, blackmailing the DPRK and its people and sovereignty and dignity and security and safety of the people. All these facts show who is the creator, who is the perpetrator of the nuclear blackmail. And DPRK is simply and purely victim of these hostilities and nuclear blackmails. But when you look at this report, this did not reflect any piece of these facts, unfortunately. Therefore, if the IAEA is supposed to intervene and settle this issue peacefully, it should have itself sitting on fence, looking at with DPRK nuclear issue in the Korean Peninsula with impartiality, showing neutrality for the settlement of the nuclear issue in the Korean Peninsula. And as far as the oral statement mentioned yesterday, it referred again to the nuclear tests and UN Security Council resolution. As DPRK every time makes itself clear, the nuclear test was conducted in response to the rampant and violent infringement upon the sovereignty of the DPRK, insultation of the dignity of our national pride of our people, who launched successfully peaceful satellite last year, December, and last year, April. And this exercise, once again, we make it clear, this was a legitimate exercise of our sovereign power and right under the UN Charter. And this cannot be regarded as the violation of UN Security Council resolution. And this UN Security Council resolution was purely manipulated by the United States. And it is misuse of its own power. And if the ballistic missile is the only reason to be questioned for being used for launching satellite by DPRK, it is the very country, the United States, who should be questioned, who should be brought to the Security Council, who should be questioned and sanctioned by the Security Council. Because the United States is number one launcher and number one champion in having in the air, in the outer space, its satellites to its maximum number out of all the spacefaring countries. And concerning the position of the DPRK for the settlement of the nuclear issue, in view of all these factors, who is the creator, who is the perpetrator, DPRK makes it clear once again, under the principle of action for action, the U.S. should move first as a creator and producer and perpetrator of nuclear blackmail and hostility against the DPRK. And if they move, we can move. But as far as they don't move, we are not in a position to move. As long as the nuclear blackmails and hostilities are continuing, we have no other option but to continue strengthening our war deterrent. That is our nuclear weapon capability. And concerning the adoption of this resolution, we will disassociate from this adoption of this resolution. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the distinguished representative of the DPRK. We have now heard the only speaker in explanation of vote before the vote. The Assembly will now take decision on draft resolution A/68/L10, entitled Report of the International Atomic Energy Agency. And I now give the floor to the representative of the Secretariat.
Thank you, Mr. President. I should like to announce that in addition, to those delegations listed on the L document or previously mentioned during the introduction of the draft resolution. The following countries have also become co-sponsors of A/68/L10: Albania, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Brunei Darussalam, Colombia, Costa Rica, Croatia, Egypt, Estonia, Greece, Hungary, Iceland, Ireland, Japan, Kazakhstan, Malaysia, Papua New Guinea, Peru, Republic of Moldova, Romania, San Marino, Slovakia, Spain, Sweden, and Ukraine. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. May I take it that the Assembly decides to adopt draft resolution A/68/L10? I see no objection. It is so decided. One representative has requested to exercise the right of reply. And may I remind members that statements in the exercise of the right of reply are limited to 10 minutes for the first intervention and to 5 minutes for the second intervention, and should be made by delegations from their seats. I call on the representative of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
Thank you, Mr. President, once again, and I'm sorry for asking the floor again. And regarding the statement in the general statement by the distinguished delegate of Japan, the DPRK delegation would like to clarify its position. The distinguished representative of Japan made reference to many issues concerning so-called nuclear activities of the DPRK. And most typically, I think, he made the reference to 5 major factors. 1, the nuclear test again. For this one, there is a great question mark. Why is Japan having this kind of clamor against nuclear test, while they joined the United States in manipulating the adoption of the resolution in the Security Council against the DPRK peaceful satellite launch? It was immediately after this launch of DPRK, it was followed by Japanese launch. And United States kept silent. Security Council kept silent. There is a great question mark. Why nuclear test of DPRK again? There is no reason for Japan, no moral reason, moral justification by Japan to raise somebody else, whatever somebody has done something. It should be Japan who should be questioned first. 2, he made a reference to the Security Council resolution obligations. The DPRK once again makes it clear we totally rejected Security Council resolution for its illegal adoption and the manipulation of one so-called permanent member of the Security Council. 3, he made a reference to the peace and security of Northeast Asia. It gave a strong impression as if Japan is a peace-loving policy country, but it is contrary. It is becoming nuclear power and the nuclear umbrella of the United States. It is aligning its entire territory as a launch of attack against DPRK, whatever facilities and the bilateral agreement. Japan is supposed to provide all facilities open for military activities of the United States. Therefore, who is the perpetrator and offender of peace and security in this region? It is clearly Japan. 4, again, he made a reference to 6-party talks. In the process of the six-party talks, Japanese delegation raised, which has nothing to do with the nuclear issue of the Korean Peninsula, that is the abduction issue. And it invited criticism, all the other five participants. And itself, it never, ever honored the commitment under this six-party talks. Every party, that is six party, respectively, has commitment and obligation to fully honor. But Japan was the only country it has never, ever honored its commitment. Therefore, again, Japan has no moral, legal authority and justification. I thank you, Mr. President.
May I take it that it is the wish of the General Assembly to conclude its consideration of Agenda Item 88? I see no objection. It is so decided. The meeting is adjourned.